I'm going to tell you the story of wisdom or luck. Once, wisdom and luck got into a terrible fight about which one of them was the stronger.
"'Tis quite clear, Master Luck, that I am the stronger. For with wisdom, all things can be accomplished."
No. I'm stronger than you. I'm much stronger, and I'll prove it. Why, in 5 minutes' time, I can accomplish what you could not accomplish in 20 years. And in 5 minutes' time, I can undo the work it took you 20 years to accomplish.
We shall have a contest, then, you and I.
Indeed. Down there on that insignificant little speck of dust called the Earth, a baby boy is being born. Master Wisdom, do you enter into his life? Fill it with your essence. Make him the very embodiment of wisdom. And when you are stuck and can do no more, call for me. And so, Wisdom entered into the life of a young newborn lad. Once upon a time, there was a young lad who had much wisdom, but he had no luck. Everything he tried, he was always in the wrong place at the wrong time. He finally went to the big city, and he even managed to get himself apprenticed to the master tailor, the tailor who provided clothing to the king himself. And his wisdom was so great that he was soon embroidering new designs upon the king's clothes and weaving into them commentaries on Torah and Talmud and the ancient wisdom of the sages, so that the king, looking at his new clothes, said, I like these very much. Master Taylor, did you make them yourself?
Why, yes, Your Excellency, I stayed up late at night working my fingers to the bone for you.
And so the tailor took all the credit and all the money, and our young lad was still living in a hovel at the back of the tailor's house. Now, about that time, the king's daughter announced that she was tired of all the men she knew. She said, "I wish to marry a man who is at least my intellectual equal, and preferably better. And so henceforth, I will utter not one more word until some man is clever enough to make me speak." And she shut her mouth and kept it that way. So the king announced that whoever could make his daughter speak would win her hand in marriage. And, of course, whoever could not make her speak, who tried and failed, well, one after one they came. Some of them tried flattery. "Ah, mademoiselle, you are the most beautiful lady in the land. Surely you cannot resist my embrace." It seemed she could. They tried trickery.
"All right. Now, this is the way it works. If you say nothing, I will assume that you mean yes. The king, your father, is a fool. You going to let that stand?" It seemed she would. And so one by one, they came and they tried, and one by one, our young lad decided that he would try his luck. He presented himself at the palace gates. Two large, burly guards were lounging there.
"Igor, look at what wind blew up. Hey, boy, go away. We don't need trash like you."
I beg your pardon. I may be dressed in rags, but I am more intelligent than either of you.
and I have come to win the hand of the princess.
A smart boy, eh?
All right, smart boy, is what we do for you. We take you to princess. And then, when you don't make her speak, we take you direct to executioner.
And so, they marched him along to the chamber of the princess. And he amazed her by talking not to her, but to the candelabrum in the corner.
Good Master Candelabrum, my old friend, I have traveled from afar to ask you for your wisdom. You see, it seems that three friends of mine, a woodcarver, a tailor, and a teacher, all went out into the woods to spend the night. They built a fire and they took turns taking watch. And the woodcarver watched first, Master Candelabrum, and he saw a beautiful silver birch log lying there in the dark. And he thought it a fine thing if he carved the likeness of a woman. And so he did. Now, it was the tailor's turn after that. And the tailor, well, he saw the beautiful naked woman and thought it a shame that she should be naked, and so he took some red cloth and made her the finest dress that ever you saw. And then it was the teacher's turn to watch. And the teacher saw the beautiful woman in the red dress and thought it a shame that she should be mute. So he set out to teach her to speak, and so great was his skill. In the morning, the three of them found the teacher sitting by the fire in conversation with a beautiful woman in a red dress.
Well, the woodcarver said, "The statue belongs to me, for 'twas I that carved her from a lump of wood."
The tailor said, "Not at all. She belongs to me, for it was I who clothed her and therefore gave her the gift of civilization." The teacher said, "Ah, but 'twas I that taught her to speak and gave her the gift and spark of life. And so I leave it to you, Master Candelabrum." To which one of them does the statue belong? And the princess said, "Well, naturally she belongs to the man who made her speak." The lad approached, and a long, happy interval passed. And finally, with a last kiss on the forehead, she sent him out into the hall, saying, "Have the guards take you to my father and tell him that you are the one that I will marry." But as soon as he stepped out into the hall,
burly hands seized him. "Sir, you did not make the princess speak."
But she did speak. You heard her yourselves.
"Moi? I hear nothing." "Igor, did you hear anything that sounded like a princess speaking?" "I hear nothing."
"To the executioner!"
And so they dragged him off, protesting and kicking and screaming. The executioner bent him over the chopping block, said, "Ah, another one, so young." And he raised his axe and brought it down in a whistling, vicious, gleaming arc. And it was at that point that wisdom said, "All right, I'm stuck." And luck entered into the life of this young lad. Just as luck would have it, the head of the axe flew off, whistled across the room, whanged against the opposite wall with a shower of sparks. The executioner said, "Oh, my goodness, that's never happened before, but fortunately I have another axe, so no problem." And he brought it down again in a wicked, vicious, gleaming arc. And just then the king walked by and said, "What are you doing?
doing? Oh, just another execution, Your Excellency. Oh, well, carry on, carry on, carry on. And he brought it down one more time, and the princess just happened to walk by and say, what are you doing with my intended husband? The king said, oh, my dear, you spoke! And so great was his happiness that he married her to the young lad on the spot, and he and his princess lived happily ever after, and Luck said, well?
I confess, Master Luck, you are the stronger.
Yes, but tell me,
did you not enjoy that tale that the lad told to win his bride?
Oh, yes, it's very good, it's very good.
Well, could a lucky fool have told such a tale?
Thank you. Thank you.